become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children.
That's wrong. That's wrong for sure. Welcome. Broadcasting from my home studio in downtown Belmont, Pennsylvania, worldwide is National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and any place else you see or hear the show. I'm Peter Serafine. I'm your host for the next 2 hours of common sense and constitutional discussion. Got two guests planned for this evening. At the bottom of this first hour, roughly 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, if you're watching or listening live, we got retired Colonel Mike Ford, the managing editor of American Free News Network. And then at the top of the second hour, roughly 7 o'clock Eastern time, if you're watching or listening live, we got Paul Engel from ConstitutionStudy.com. He's got one of my favorite podcasts, I have to say. It's just called The Constitution Study. And I like his take. I like his view. And that's why I reached out and asked him to come on the show. And he's been back once a month ever since. He was supposed to be on last week, but time zone thing, we got messed up. So he's coming on this week. Presuming we don't have the same problem. Don't forget, you can still enter to win books at liberty-alighthouse.com. Big blue button right at the top of the homepage. It says win a book. Real cryptic there. Click that button, fill out the little form. And I will give away books. I don't think I'm going to do it every week anymore. Might do it once a month. Give out a bunch once a month or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, liberty-lighthouse.com. Click the big blue win a book button. This is a live call-in show. So if you have something that you would like to discuss, questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, critiques, compliments, any of the above, you can call 512-248-8252. And if you don't want your voice on the radio, but you still want to say something, you can text that to me at 64, my rights, at 646-974-4487. A lot going on in the world. Most of it I don't care about. One thing going on, I have an idea. It's going to require a little explanation. See, you look at the Constitution said that Washington, D.C., the district, not more than 10 miles square, so 10 miles by 10 miles, so 100 square miles, shall be the seat of government of the United States. Now, our framers did that because they did not want any one state to house the Capitol or be in control of the Capitol. So they created this idea of a district that was not a state, that would be governed directly by Congress. Okay. So originally, a little bit of land was seceded from Virginia, and a little bit of land was seceded from Maryland to create the 100 square miles. But at some point, we decided, you know, we don't really need the Virginia side of the river. That's where Arlington National Cemetery is, for example. At some point, government decided we don't need that to be part of the Capitol and gave back the Virginia side to Virginia. On the Maryland side is where all of Washington, D.C. is now. And if you look at a map of it, there's a pretty concentrated area known as the National Mall. It's kind of a cross-shaped area that houses most of the government buildings. The White House at the top of one side of the cross, and the Capitol building, and Supreme Court on the far right side of the bottom of the cross. My idea is this. why don't we shrink Washington, D.C. again and just go down to the National Mall? See, the people in Washington, the people that live in Washington, D.C., they've got a legitimate complaint. They don't have voting representation in Congress. Yeah, they get a vote or two or whatever they get in the Electoral College. They have a non-voting member in the House of Representatives. They don't get proper representation compared to the rest of us. And why do we need all, why does the capital of our country need to be a city anyway? If we shrink it down to just the National Mall, just the main portions of our federal government, the main buildings, that eliminates all of the residential areas. And all of the citizens that live in those residential areas would become citizens of Maryland again. Give all that land back to Maryland. Then the only people in D.C. would be the first family and the live-in caretakers at any of these buildings, any of these government buildings. They don't need representation in Congress. They can get rid of that one voting member or one non-voting member. Probably get rid of the one other, get rid of the Electoral College votes too, honestly. That might require a constitutional amendment. But we could shrink DC down to just the National Mall by simple act of Congress. That doesn't have to be a constitutional amendment. That helps the residents there. Helps them a lot. They become a part of Maryland. They have a state legislator again. They don't have to go through Congress for all of their rules and laws. Now that's going to turn Maryland even more blue than it already is, but the people there would get a vote. And D.C. gets smaller. And, quite frankly, less of our tax money as a nation would go to managing Washington, D.C. Now, I've had this thought for quite a while. Probably since they started the push to make D.C. a state. Which is insane. It's clearly unconstitutional to make Washington, D.C. a state. Constitution says a district not more than 10 miles square, which shall be made by the secession of land from other states. So it's not a state. Can't be a state. But shrink it down and all of those people get state rights again. Now, I had this idea, came up with it several years ago as an argument against making DC a state. But I think it kind of holds true for Israel, too. Israel, Jerusalem. Hear me out. Whether you like it or not, the Jews have lived in Israel, Jerusalem, and lived in that area thousands of years. They've been conquered by different people, and it's been, you know, it's part of the Ottoman Empire for a while. It's been, you know, but Jews have always lived there. And they probably always will live there. Okay. It was a pretty crappy thing to do after World War II to take the one spot, Jerusalem, which is the home of three of the world's religions, and give it to one religion and say, this land, you know, hey, the Jews need a safe space to call their own. Okay. We in the Western world, we're just going to carve out this land and give it to them. Now, historically, the West does not do well in the Middle East when we draw boundaries. The Sykes-Picot Agreement after World War I is still a disaster over a century later. And quite honestly, a lot of the turmoil and strife and war that has gone on in the Middle East for the last 100 years is our fault, our being the Western world. Sykes-Picot was ridiculous. It was the leaders of Europe drawing on a map what parts are going to, you know, hey, France, you're going to manage this territory, and hey, England, we're going to manage this territory, and just drawing lines on a map and deciding who got what after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. But the people in Europe that were drawing those lines, they didn't pay any attention to, well, the culture of the people there. Yeah, look at Iraq, for example. It's, you know, a Sunni in one part and a Shiite in another part, and like it's a hodgepodge of different cultures that are forced to live together under one country because of something the Western world decided to do. It's kind of what happened in Israel. The Western world decided that we wanted to give Israel their homeland. Give the Jews their homeland. I don't think that was a good idea, or it wasn't done well, I'll put it that way. Because they've been at war ever since. It's been, what, 70 years now? 80 years? It's been constant war. Just like after Sykes-Picot, it's been constant war. So, you know, Israel was created in, was it 45 or whatever? They've been at war. I think a better idea would have been to take just Jerusalem. Take Jerusalem and make it its own independent, kind of like the Vatican, a city-state that's standalone, just Jerusalem. But because Jerusalem is home of three of the world religions, make it managed and run by a board of, I don't know, two people from each of those three religions. Two Christians, two Jews, two Muslims. To run Jerusalem. Make it so that nobody can stop one of the other religions from coming and seeing the birthplace of their faith, seeing the Wailing Wall or whatever it may be. Now, part of the reason that I have this idea, because I'm tired of the United States being involved in foreign wars. We've been involved in wars in the Middle East my whole life. And I don't like that. I don't think it's any of our business in the United States what's going on over there. And I think every time, every time the Western world tries to make things better, we do nothing but make it worse. So why don't we minimize that? Set aside Jerusalem as kind of like the Switzerland, completely neutral, and defend Jerusalem. And Israel as a nation, whatever happens, happens. Quite honest, we need something kind of like the Ottoman Empire again. We need something that a loose power structure, a loose governance over the whole region. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how the Ottoman Empire lasted for as long as it did with all of these different clashing organizations and affiliations within it, but they managed it somehow. We in the Western world have nothing but mess it up. Now, my friend Jamil across the street, he's half Iraqi. And he would say that, well, there's a lot of people over there that still consider themselves Persian, even though Persia hasn't existed in a while. Okay. We can't understand it here in our country. What goes on over there between these different clashing, I don't even know what to call them. Sects, I guess, these different sects that are at each other's throats. But to think about it, it's like, you know, the Sunni and the Shia, they're both Muslims. That's kind of like, you know, the Catholics and the Baptists going after each other. You know, Hamas and Hezbollah, one Sunni, one Shia. We don't get that. We don't have that here. We can't possibly understand it. It's not part of our culture. So why do we keep interfering at all? Now, I'm a little isolationist, and I acknowledge that. I realize that. I look at it like George Washington's farewell address when he warned us to stay out of foreign entanglements. People will say, well, that was 230 years ago. Yeah? You don't think they had foreign entanglements back then? And then 18th century? Of course they did. They had trade agreements with different countries. They had, you know, allied mutual defense agreements with different countries. They had trade problems with other countries. I mean, the first war the United States declared was the Barbary War against the Barbary Pirates. As soon as we declared independence from England, we lost the protection of England. It didn't take long before the Barbary Pirates realized that and started attacking American ships in the Mediterranean, demanding tribute. So foreign entanglements have been around forever. And Washington's warning to avoid foreign entanglements, something that we have definitely not been listening to. World's going to crap. And because the world's going to crap, you need right to bear insurance. You need carry insurance. If you own a firearm, and you should, if you carry that firearm, and you should, you need carry insurance, because in the unlikely event, the unfortunate event that you might have to use your firearm, there's a really good chance that you're going to be sued, arrested, charged with a crime, even if you didn't do anything wrong, even if you used your weapon in self-defense. That's where carry insurance, like right to bear insurance, comes in. Right to bear insurance is the most affordable carry insurance on the market, starting at just $11 a month. I was a member of Right to Bear long before I brought him on as a sponsor. So I tell you this because it's not me just trying to make a buck. It really is a good product. So go to protectwithbear.com and use code Lighthouse while you're there. I'll save you 10% off. Protectwithbear.com. Use code Lighthouse. This is radio for we the people. Liberty Lighthouse. Now, I'm a little surprised that I just spoke about ideas and what my thoughts about both the District of Columbia and the idea of a separate independent Jerusalem, and the phone line didn't just explode. Rather surprised. Maybe you didn't hear me earlier when I said this is a live call-in show, and you can call in at 512-248-8252. I'm not interested in discussing, you know, the Jews are bad or Hamas is bad. I'm really not interested in getting into that fight with anybody. War is bad. and that region has been at war since the Western world inserted itself and drew those boundaries. So, I thought the idea of a completely independent Jerusalem seemed pretty reasonable to me. But only Jerusalem. Maybe Jerusalem and a, you know, 1 mile radius around it or something like that. I thought that was pretty ingenious. What do you think? I don't know. One of the things I plan to talk about tonight with Paul Engel in the second hour is I want to talk about the Speaker of the House thing going on. Jim Jordan failed to vote twice and apparently has stepped aside. Now there's a call to make, McHenry, a temporary Speaker of the House and give him the power. That's kind of iffy. I don't like that. I don't like the idea of anybody being appointed to that job. By the rules, they're supposed to be elected. And as we've seen before with Washington, D.C., and with government in general, you allow them to get away with something once, they're going to find excuses to do it again. So if we let these folks in D.C. appoint a Speaker of House who does not get elected by the House, they're going to look for reasons to do that in the future. So they need to elect one. I sort of kind of like the idea of Jim Jordan doing it, but that's not going to happen. I never did like McCarthy. He just felt like a swamp creature to me. So I don't know. Maybe I've been off of work for a couple of days, and to be quite honest, I haven't been paying that close of attention to the news, so maybe I missed something. We do need to elect a speaker. Or they're going to use that as more of an excuse why they can't pass a budget later. Remember, they passed a 45-day continuing resolution. They still have to pass the appropriations bills. They can't do that until they have a Speaker of the House. And I don't know. Is it a bad thing that Washington can't do anything anymore? After all, I think the First Amendment should have ended with Congress shall make no law, period. Stop, end of sentence. And that's kind of how I feel about it. And they can't make a law as long as there's no Speaker of the House. They can't make law, that means they can't keep wasting our money. Can't keep taking our rights away. But that also means that they can't do the things that we actually want them to do. They can't pass laws to, I don't know, secure the southern border, for example. So we do need a speaker. I don't know who else is interested in the job. It's not a job I would want. I don't know who's there that would. Steve Scalise didn't make it. He dropped out. McCarthy says he doesn't want it. He's not running again. Jim Jordan tried twice. He didn't make it. Now he supposedly dropped out. Who's left? Is there anybody that could get enough votes? I don't think anybody I would agree with politically could possibly pass and get enough votes to make speaker. It's probably going to be another middle-of-the-road establishment Republican kind of person. Exactly what we don't need. But it's probably the only way the only type of person who can possibly get the votes needed to get elected. We do need somebody to get elected. Hey, it's break time. Be back in 3 minutes, hopefully on the other side of the break. If all things work well, Colonel Mike Ford from American Free News Network.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. It's Peter Serafine, your host here on National Intel Report Thursday nights, host of Liberty Lighthouse. Don't forget, we on the right side of the political aisle don't get help from algorithms. The only way we get our voices heard is when you go out there and share our content. So do us a favor. Help us out. Support this network. Support the shows that you like. Use their promo codes. Buy their merchandise. Buy my book, A More Tyrannical King. How the Federal Government Has Become More Oppressive Than King George. It's my latest book. Got another one. Actually started working on two more now. Can't ever turn my brain off. You know, I work full time and I do this and I write a blog article every week. And I don't have time to be doing all of this stuff, but I keep doing it because I love our country and I want to save it somehow. Over in the video chat room, Chris said he's disgusted and disappointed in our representatives that can't come together to vote on a speaker. Seems to me that there's no integrity and honesty in the House. It is now the House of ill repute. I agree, Chris, but are you surprised? I'm not. Hopefully it's a good sign, though. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's the straw that breaks the camel's back kind of thing. All these things keep going wrong, and maybe it'll help fix stuff. Let's see here. We got on the phone lines. Lines are still open, by the way. 512-248-8252. We got Aaron in Kentucky on line one.
Hey, Pete. Great show tonight. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me call in. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I was reading a text from our guest who apparently is not going to be joining us for this segment. Colonel Mike Ford is out of town, and he forgot to tell me. Anyway, what's up, Aaron?
Well, I had a couple of things I wanted to bring up about the what you were talking about with D.C. and with Israel. You know, back when January 6th happened, we saw everybody saying that it was an attack on democracy.
Right.
And it was an attack on the seat of democracy, and it was an attack on our country, et cetera, et cetera. And you could see the value that the Congress put in themselves and the authority and the hubris that they had for themselves, because they put fences up around the Capitol to protect the senators and the congressmen while they were certifying the election to ensure that nothing, no other incursions would happen. Yet,
and then left them up.
Borders are open
for months.
Yeah, but yet our borders are open, and they're not willing to do anything. Now recently we've had some lip service paid to, you know, Trump is right, we need to put up a wall, et cetera, et cetera. But wait a minute.
They absolutely will not say Trump was right. What they're saying is we have to do it. The money's been allocated. And we can't get them to reapportion it anywhere else, so we have to spend the money and put up the wall. Oh, darn.
Yeah, true. You're right on that. It's almost like a tacit approval of what Trump had been saying for years. But even so, when they were saying that this was an attack on the seat of democracy, they placed themselves above the people by saying, we're more important. We need to be protected from these crazy people that want to stand up and voice their opinions against an election that had so many anomalies that more people were concerned than we had seen in the past.
Right.
So they obviously don't realize that their power derives from the consent of the governed. What's that?
They forgot that a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just... We know all these things. We see these things. We know that they've forgotten it. But to see it on display, I don't want to say validates those who have been, like yourself, who have been saying that the people in Congress and in our government in general have no fidelity to the Constitution whatsoever. But we start to see these things come to pass where it's so blatant in front of us. And yet people still don't seem to realize the necessity and the empowerment that each of us citizens have to stand up against this this tyranny that we have in the federal government.
You know, I hear all the time, like, you know, I'm a nobody. What can I do? Like, I'm one vote. What can I do? And it's BS. We all have a voice, and you're never one voice or one vote. You have a voice. You can talk to your neighbors. You can talk to your friends. You can write letters to the editor. You can write to your congresspeople. You can show up at your town hall meetings and your school board meetings. And you can do, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah. And the operative word there is do. There are a lot of people that don't want to do, you know,
right.
And unfortunately, if we settle down into the seat of, or into the escape clause that we built into our own selves, that we're just one lone voice, we can't say anything or do anything, then we get what we've got. We get what we deserve. And hopefully, and we've seen the tide turning. I'm not sure if I'm on the Trump train as far as him being the supreme uniter of all of these conservative viewpoints, but we've definitely seen the turn in the past 6 years, 7 years, where people are now realizing that they do have a voice and they can stand up. But we'll have to see if that comes to fruition, if people will actually put their pen to paper or their feet to the concrete and actually do something and pick up their mantle and take on their God-given responsibility and their duty to stand up for liberty and justice.
Yeah, and it's not only will they stand up and do something, it's will they continue to stand up when a few of them get thrown in jail? Because that's going to be it's going to happen.
I mean, yeah, and it is happening. We see that with January 6th. We see that with the gentleman that was just recently sentenced to 7 months for sharing a meme about Hillary Clinton. I mean, what? I mean, that to me is yet another brick in the wall, to quote the great contemporary theologian Roger Waters, that we are just continually seeing these bricks in the wall build up and take away our democracy, our representative republic.
And I don't care what anybody thinks about any of the people that did whatever they did on January 6th. There are prisoners still in jail for now over 1,000 days that have yet to stand trial. That is un-American. Even a mass murderer should be tried faster than that.
Agreed. They're sending a message. The whole point of this is to send a message.
Definitely.
And now the other point, just to jump to it, when you were talking about Israel and Israel being a place where three of the world's major religions meet, you were talking there about just turning that into a place for each of those religions to have their own plot of land. My question is, who determines that? Who determines that
not,
land belongs?
Not their own plot. Not their own plot. My thought is, section off, you know, the city of Jerusalem or a region around Jerusalem or something like that, and let it be governed by a board of representatives of all three religions. Not, they don't each get a third of it. Collectively, the three religions get this area.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if that... Because that solution still has the issues that we're facing now. I mean, could you imagine a board of Jews and Muslims trying to talk about who gets rights and who is who gets say-so on what happens to Jerusalem? I mean, the Dome of the Rock has been a center point of contention with all of that that's going on there, especially in evangelical Christianity, which that's a completely different topic to get into. But the Dome of the Rock and that area in Jerusalem, I just don't see. I think we still have with that the same exact problems we have right now. Who's going to be on the board? Who's going to elect the board? Who's going to listen to the board? You know, because even though Israel has made many concessions over the years, and this is no defense of them at all, even though they've made many concessions over the years and given places like the Gaza Strip and other places to the Palestinians over time, we still have the conflict that we have right now. Right. I believe it would cause the same issues. I'm not sure that there's any solution for that, because that would still, that decision of that board would be, to me, seems like, based on the religion and not on the actual governance of the land outside of their personal beliefs and their sacred scriptures.
Well, I was looking at it more like, the three of them have to agree well enough to get anything done. Otherwise, nobody gets anything. It's kind of like our dysfunctional government now, where if they don't agree, then nothing gets done. If you can't get, you know, half or whatever the vote, whatever rules they set for themselves. But yeah, I was looking at it like, don't get rid of, you don't need a whole country. We, the Western world, should never have carved out a country in the Middle East and said, hey, this is for the Jews. That was just wrong.
Oh, yeah, I agree, especially external governments deciding what people in their own land do, because I know that here in the United States, we wouldn't stand for that. We wouldn't stand for a global government or any other type of land, any other country dictating to us. You know, for instance, this has been brought up a lot. I made the point myself. We had the indigenous peoples here in the United States long before it was the United States. Some people say for 6 to 10,000 years or more. How would we feel if a governing body, even if it was elected by a small minority here in the country, How would we feel if a governing body came up and said, okay, Minnesota and Wisconsin and other states are now going to be sectioned off, and those are going to be places that are inhabited and run by a tribal government only for them. Anybody who's not under that tribal government will either have to submit themselves to it or leave. We wouldn't stand for that. And over there in the Middle East, it is so heavily based on each religion's scriptures or their interpretation of those scriptures saying that they have a right to that land, a God-given right to that land. And to be honest with you, anybody who throws God behind their cause has now trumped anybody else, because they're now dying for something bigger than themselves, or fighting for something that's more valuable or more important than just whether or not we're going to be able to have a just and fair election.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's been a bad idea every time that our government has ever, I'm sorry, not ours, anytime the Western world has tried to insert themselves and do anything in the Middle East, it's never turned out well. So, extricate ourselves from it, set up a system and say, look, we acknowledge that these three religions all originated in this particular area. You three have to work together in order to continuously allow pilgrims from all three of those religions to come visit the holy sites. Other than that, Israel, fend for yourself or go away. Like, it's the country was set up poorly from the beginning, but it has existed for 80 years. So I don't know, it's kind of like Ukraine. The civil war between Ukraine and Russia has been going on for hundreds of years. Why is it now a problem from the Western world? Hey, look, Colonel Mike Ford joined us. Welcome to the show, Colonel.
Yeah, I got lost on the way to my computer today. My apologies. I'm here.
Yeah. Well, we got Aaron on the phone, and we were kind of discussing. I had profited a potential solution to the Israeli mess. Well, not even a solution, just a way for us to get out of it. Us, the Western world, to get out of the problem. And we've talked about a bunch of stuff. Anything else you got for us, Aaron?
No, that's it. I appreciate you letting me voice my opinion, Peter. Keep up the great work.
I greatly appreciate your call. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Colonel Mike Ford.
And hut. Welcome back in studio. Retired Colonel Mike Ford, managing editor of American Free News Network.
Good evening, Colonel Ford.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on. How you doing today?
Oh, fan-freaking-tastic. I would like to hear your thought about the idea that I proffered earlier. See, I've long had this idea that Washington, D.C. should be shrunk down to just the National Mall and the buildings at the edges, the White House and the Capitol building, and the Supreme Court, that are all on the National Mall, and the rest of it should all go back to Maryland. And that way the whole people that don't have representation in Congress problem is solved, because, hey, look, they're all Maryland citizens now.
I've never understood how anybody can actually live in D.C. because that's supposed to be a federal enclave, not a place for people to live. It's supposed to be a place for people to work in government. So yeah, I never understood that to begin with.
Which is kind of my gist, is to, hey, let's just shrink it down to the government parts.
I agree.
That the only people that live there are like the first family and the caretaker, the overnight caretakers of the buildings.
Sure. I agree.
Well, I had that idea kind of morphed into, I've said that the establishment of Israel was poorly done, just like the establishment of all the lines of the Sykes-Picot Agreement after World War I. And every time the Western world tries to accomplish anything in the Middle East, we don't understand their culture, we don't understand their differences between the religions, and we screw everything up. So rather than establishing this big country of Israel, why doesn't the UN or whoever, whatever governing agency wants to say, okay, here's Jerusalem, this is the birthplace of three of the world's major religions, give me two, maybe three representatives of those three religions, and the six or nine of you get to manage Jerusalem as a completely independent, like, city state, like the Vatican, but just that.
Nah. Not buying it. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Israel is not only a de facto but a de jure country. It is an adult country. It's managing its affairs well. What is a child country or a provisional country is the Gaza Strip and the Palestinian, you know, Palestine country. Your Palestinians, there is not an ethnicity. It has no ethnic culture to itself. It's a made-up construct of a bunch of folks that Jordan doesn't want to take, Egypt doesn't want to take, and none of the Arab world wants. Okay, they just use them as a foil against Israel. If we want to solve this problem, I've been working on this little thing that I'm putting together. You know, what do we do after the IDF goes in and cleans out Gaza? And they cannot occupy it forever. They're going to have to occupy it for a period of time to clean it out. But then what? If they go back to Israel, okay, fine. It'll take Hamas another 10 years to build up whatever they got to do. And I forget who said it. You know, the Arab world can afford to fight and lose a war every 10, 20 years or so against Israel. The first war that Israel loses will be its last. So what we need to do is kind of solve that problem. And Donald Trump was on the way to doing that. And in so many ways, but that's for another discussion. What we need to do at the end of this, when Israel has reduced Hamas, is there needs to be a commission led by Jordan and Egypt, who are the two Arab states that have the most skin in the game there. And what they need to do is lead a military occupation force that rules the Gaza Strip until that country can be an adult country again. So Jordan and Egypt would be the two primary players there, and then other Arab nations that they invite in to help them with troops or whatever to police that area. And they'll be able to do things to Hamas and any other terrorists there that the Israelis cannot do, because the Israelis operate on a much stricter rules of engagement than even our own army does. But when the Egyptians, if the Egyptians and the Jordanians and maybe the Saudis go in there, or the Qataris go in there to, as a combined force to manage the Gaza Strip, then I guarantee you the terrorism will drop the zip.
All right, hold that thought. Sarah in Oregon, line three, welcome to the show, Sarah.
Everyone, this is Sarah Nichols. You know, and we know, that you need to help these algorithms, because the legacy social media platforms don't do diddly squat for us. Help your fellow content creators share out the shows and use the promo codes and all that jazz. Thank you and goodbye.
Thanks for your support, Sarah. Always a pleasure. Colonel, my problem is I don't want to be involved anymore. I'm tired of our money going over there. I'm tired of, we have been fighting in the Middle East since I can remember, my whole life. We've been fighting in the Middle East. And if you look back at history, there's been fighting in the Middle East since the fall of the Ottoman Empire in World War I.
Until 2016.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one of the things that Trump did was he removed the Palestinian. I have to use scare quotes because there's no such thing as Palestinians. And we need to recognize that fact. He removed the Palestinian veto to Middle East peace. Once he said, sorry, you don't have a seat at the table. I'm talking to the Saudis. I'm talking to the Jordanians. Then all of a sudden we had the Abraham Accords. And what's the first thing that Biden did? He gets back in there and he says, no, the Palestinians have to have a seat at the table. And look where we are now. So the way we do this, the way we can extract ourselves is through going through trusted third parties that want to have a relationship with us because we're strong. Okay, and that would be Egypt and Jordan. Okay, that's our entryway in there. And Saudi Arabia was about to jump on the bus until they saw what a doddering, weak old fool our president is.
Yeah.
Okay, but we could still recover this in 2024. But the way to fix this problem for the long term in Gaza is to have it policed by the Jordanians and the Egyptians, because they have just as big of skin in the game to keep terrorists underfoot there.
Well, why doesn't Israel just take it? I mean, if you can take it,
but then you have to occupy it. Okay, and in order to occupy it, you're going to have to do some things that Israel can't get away with doing. We could barely get away with, but the Egyptians and the Jordanians have no problem.
Okay.
And that's real politic right there.
No, I was just saying, you know, one of the spoils of war
they could, but then what are you going to do with all those people? You have to make them part of your society. Once you take the land, you are responsible for the governance.
Right.
And the people there do not want to be governed by Israel. Okay, it was that Israel did own the land previously, and in a land for peace, you know, the Palestinians, scare quotes again, said, "If you give us some land, we'll leave you alone." And Israel gave them some land. They were, forced into it. I forget by Carter or Clinton. I forget which one gave up the land. I forget what the date was. And now what we've got is a cesspool there. And the only way that they can keep that tamp down and or avoid having to go in there every 15 to 20 years is to put some better actors on the ground to police it. And to me, that says Egypt and Jordan, because they have the most to lose when the Palestinians turn away from Israel and start going after somebody else. Because once they get rid of Israel, don't think that they're going to stop there. Okay, that's just a waypoint.
You think? Because it seems to me everything I see is basically the Muslims just don't want a Jewish state in the middle of their arena.
I've got to say something nice about Jimmy Carter. He did the Camp David Accords, and for the first several years, relations between Egypt and Israel were coldly correct after that. Everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do according to the letter of the law. Up until about 5 minutes ago, okay, and it was accelerated by President Trump, Egypt and Israel had become partners, overt partners in going after terrorists. Israel and the Jordanians, overt partners. Saudi Arabia had given overflight rights on occasion to Israeli folks. Okay, they have had given regular overflight rights under Donald Trump to El Al. That's huge. Okay, so we can make this work, because there are Arab governments out there that really would rather deal with Israel than they would the Palestinians. You'll notice that Egypt isn't all that hot and bothered or excited about accepting Palestinian refugees. You notice
right.
that. Okay,
yeah,
and neither is Jordan, because they know that they will be a cancer on their government and on their security.
I'm surprised we're not shipping them over here by the cargo ship full.
Shh! Don't give the boneheads in the White House any ideas.
Look, honestly, this like I say about Ukraine, the civil war between the Ukraine and Russia has gone back and forth for hundreds of years. And Israel and the war between Israel and the Muslim states surrounding it has been going on since the Western world poked their finger in and said, let's make this part right here a Jewish state.
Well, you got to understand, though, that the Jews owned that land before anybody else did. Go look at all the history.
No. The Jews occupied that land. The Jews occupied that land for thousands of years, but it was owned and operated and managed by the Ottoman Empire for the last
no. This predated the Ottoman Empire.
Right. They were conquered over and over again. But they stayed there.
Okay, but we conquered after the end of World War I. We conquered the Ottoman Empire, split Turkey off, and we got that chunk there. And then, you know, right of conquest. Now we get to decide how to divvy it up. The only real issue I had with how they divvied it up, and Sir Lawrence of Arabia, you know, made that same comment also. If you look there, there's an awful lot of straight lines there that don't go along that, you know, natural geographic features. And a straight line on a map across desert doesn't mean anything to Bedouins that go back and forth all over the place.
Right. So that's what I said about the Sykes-Picot Agreement. When we divided up afterwards, We paid no attention to the ethnic divisions of the region. We paid no attention to the geographic divisions of the region. We just drew lines. We, the Western world, drew lines and said, hey, this is now Iraq. You're a country. Never mind the fact that there's three different groups of ethnicities that you just circled into that don't get along, and now you expect them to manage a country together.
And the only way to do that is with a strong man that we deposed.
Right. We'll prop them up for a couple of years, and then we'll depose them later.
Yeah.
We, the Western world, need to get out. Let them fight amongst themselves and do whatever it is that they're going to do. It's none of our business.
Well, with one exception, we also have a moral obligation and a biblical obligation to support the state of Israel. So,
I see. I would agree that we have a biblical obligation to support the people of Israel. I don't think we have a biblical obligation to defend a country that we just kind of drew a line on a map ourselves.
Well, we'll have to tear the top off a bottle of scotch and argue that one another time.
Hey, it's break time. We're going to be back in 3 minutes on the other side of the break. I should have Paul Engel from ConstitutionStudy.com joining us. We'll see. At one of those kind of nights. 3 minutes.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.